Kim would ever get. Into every heavenly vision, though, a little hell had to intrude. The distant popping of gunfire suddenly came to Frank's ears. He reined in and frowned. The shots continued, coming fast and furious. They were still a ways off, but they were getting closer, without a doubt. He heard the rumble of hoofbeats, too. Some sort of running gun battle, Frank decided. And it was running straight toward him. He had never been one to dodge trouble. There just wasn't any backup in his nature. Instead, he nudged his heels into Stormy's sides and sent the Appaloosa trotting forward. Whatever was coming at him, Frank Morgan would go right out to meet it. Now he could see dust clouds boiling in the air ahead of him, kicked up by all the horses he heard. A moment later, the trail he was following intersected a road at a sharp angle. The pursuit was on the road itself, which was wide enough for a couple of wagons and a half dozen or so riders. Only one wagon came toward Frank, a buckboard that swayed and bounced as it careened along the road. The dust from the hooves of the team pulling it obscured the occupants to a certain extent, but Frank thought he saw two men on the buckboard, one handling the reins, while the other twisted around on the seat and fired a rifle back at the men giving chase. There were more than a dozen of those, Frank saw. He estimated the number at 20. They rode bunched up, the ones in the lead banging away at the fleeing buckboard with six guns. The gap between hunter and hunted was about 50 yards, too far for accurate handgun fire, especially from the saddle of a racing horse. But the rifleman on the buckboard didn't seem to be having much better luck. The group of riders surged on without slowing. Frank had no idea who any of these men were, and didn't know which side he ought to take in this fight, but he'd always had a natural sympathy for the underdog, so he didn't like the idea of 2 against 20. He liked it even less when one of the horses in the team suddenly went down, probably the result of stepping in a prairie dog hole. The horse screamed in pain, a shrill sound that Frank heard even over the rattle of gunfire and the pounding of hoofbeats. Probably a broken leg, he thought, in the instant before the fallen horse pulled down the other members of the team and caused the buckboard to overturn violently. The two men who had been in it flew through the air like rag dolls. Frank sent Stormy surging forward at a gallop. He didn't know if the men had survived the wreck or not, but it was a cinch they were out of the fight, at least for the moment, and wouldn't survive the next few seconds unless somebody helped them. He drew the Winchester and guided Stormy with his knees as he brought the rifle to his shoulder and blazed away, firing as fast as he could work the repeater's lever. He put the first couple of bullets over the heads of the pursuers to see if they would give up the chase. When they didn't, but kept attacking instead, sending a couple of bullets whizzing past him, Frank had no choice but to lower his aim. Stormy's smooth gait and Frank's years of experience meant that he was a good shot even from the hurricane deck. His bullets laced into the crowd of gunmen in the road. Frank was close enough now to see that most of the pursuers wore high-crowned, broad-brimmed sombreros. Bandidos from below the border, he thought. A few men in American range garb were mixed in the group, but that came as no surprise. Gringo outlaws sometimes crossed the Rio and fell in with gangs of Mexican raiders. A man who was tough enough and ruthless enough, and good enough with a gun, could usually find a home for himself with others of his kind, no matter where he was. Two of the bandits plunged off their horses as Frank's shots ripped through them, and a couple of others sagged in their saddles and dropped out of the fight, obviously wounded. The other men reined their mounts to skidding, sliding halts that made even more dust billow up from the hard-packed caliche surface of the road. Clearly, they hadn't expected to run into opposition like that which Frank was putting up now. But the odds were still on their side, and after a moment of hesitation, they attacked again, yelling curses and firing as they came toward the overturned wagon. Both of the men who had been thrown from the wreck staggered to their feet as Frank came closer. He didn't know how badly they were hurt, but at least they were conscious and able to move around. They stumbled toward the shelter of the buckboard as bullets flew around them. While Stormy was still galloping, Frank swung down from the saddle, as good a running dismount as anyone could make. He had the Winchester in his left hand. With his right, he slapped the Appaloosa on the rump and ordered, "Stormy, get out of here. You too, dog." The horse veered off into the chaparral at the side of the road, finding an opening in the thorny stuff. The big cur was more reluctant, obviously hesitant to abandon his master in the middle of a fight. Frank didn't want to have to worry about them while he was battling for his life, though, so he added, "Dog, go!" With a growl, Dog disappeared into the brush. Frank ran to the wagon and joined the two men who were already crouched behind it, firing revolvers at the charging bandidos. The man who had been using the rifle earlier had lost the weapon when the buckboard flipped over. Both of them had managed to hang on to their handguns, though. The buckboard was on its side, turned crossways in the road. The horses had struggled back to their feet, except for the one with the broken leg, and they lunged and reared in their traces, maddened by the gunfire and the reeking clouds of powder smoke that drifted through the air. A couple of them had been wounded by flying lead. Frank rested his Winchester on the buckboard and opened fire again, placing his shots carefully now that he had a chance to aim. One of the raiders flipped backward out of the saddle as if he'd been swatted by a giant hand, and another fell forward over his mount's neck before slipping off and landing under the horse's slashing hooves. Bullets pounded into the buckboard like a deadly hailstorm of lead. The thick board stopped most of them, but a few of the rounds punched through, luckily missing Frank and his two companions. The shots from the men fighting alongside him were taking a toll on the attackers as well. Less than half of the bandidos were unscathed so far. The others had been either killed or wounded. The Winchester ran dry. Frank dropped it and drew his Colt. The range was plenty close enough now for an expert pistol shot like Frank Morgan. He triggered twice and was rewarded by the sight of another rider plummeting from the saddle. The gang of bandidos had had enough. They wheeled their horses, still snapping shots at the buckboard as they did so, and then lit a shuck out of there. Frank and the two men threw a few shots after them to hurry them on their way, but the riders were out of pistol range in a matter of moments. Frank holstered the Colt and picked up the Winchester, then proceeded to reload the rifle with cartridges from his pocket in case the raiders turned around and tried again. From the looks of it, though, the bandits had no intention of returning. The dust cloud their horses kicked up dwindled in the distance. "Keep riding, you bastards," growled the older of the two men from the buckboard as he shook a fist after the bandidos. "Don't stop until you get back across the border to hell, as far as I'm concerned." The man was stocky and grizzled, with a graying, close-cropped beard. Most of his head was bald. His hands and face had a weathered, leathery look, an indication that he had spent most of his life outdoors. The second man was younger, taller and clean-shaven, but he bore a resemblance to the older man that Frank recognized right away. He pegged them as father and son, or perhaps uncle and nephew. Both men were dressed in well-kept range clothes that would have looked better if they hadn't been covered in trail dust. They had the appearance of successful cattlemen about them. Frank spotted the other rifle lying on the ground about 20 feet away. He nodded toward it and said, "Better pick up that repeater, just in case they come back." The older man snorted contemptuously. "They won't be back. Bunch of no-good cowardly dogs. They travel in a pack and won't attack unless the odds are 10 to 1 in their favor." "And we cut those odds down in a hurry," the younger man said. He hurried over to retrieve the rifle anyway, Frank noted. The riders had disappeared in the distance now, without even any dust showing. Deciding that they were truly gone, Frank walked out from behind the buckboard and went to check on the men who had fallen from their horses during the fight. He counted 7 of them. 6 were already dead, and the 7th was unconscious and badly wounded. Blood bubbled from his mouth in a crimson froth with every ragged breath he took, and Frank heard the air whistling through bullet-punctured lungs. The man dragged in one last breath and then let it out in a shuddery sigh, dying without regaining consciousness. Frank's expression didn't change as he watched the man pass over the divide. "Any man's death diminishes me," John Donne had written, and in a philosophical way, Frank supposed there might be some truth to that. Donne, however, had never swapped lead with a bandido. 5 of the men were Mexicans, typical south-of-the-border hard cases. The other 2 were American cousins of the same sort. Frank checked their pockets, found nothing but spare shells for their guns and some coins. A pistol shot made them...